Hello and welcome to another episode of Half Court Press Podcast. He's Wilson Moore. I'm John Walker. Thanks for tuning in for our final, not final episode, but our final episode of basketball season in a way.
I guess, yeah.
Nebraska's done as of less than a week ago. Creighton's done, and we're not done because we still got portal stuff. But both teams are done playing for the year, Wilson. But before we talk about that, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it's been a weird adjustment to there not being basketball. I remember I realized that maybe a couple of days after I got back from Memphis. I was sitting there. Like, the first time, like, I haven't, like, had a feature in the works or, you know, just been thinking about the next game. It was weird. And then guys started entering the portal the next day. And so it was a beautiful, like, 12 hours of bliss in there. But how are you, John?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm kind of going through that now. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a bum. Because, we're just kind of wait and see mode at the moment with people, in terms of people entering the portal and whatnot. So, yeah, no game to look forward to, no feature in the works. I feel like I'm just existing, man. But what is a college basketball reporter to do this time of year? No, I'm good. I'm good. I've enjoyed the breath. That's been nice. So we'll take it, man. We'll take it. Well, let's just hop into it. Creighton last Friday. Steam, you know, was 20 minutes away from back-to-back Elite Eights. And then Tennessee rattles off an 18-0 run. The Jays are in a hole that's way too deep. And they just didn't have enough to go for a full another 20 minutes. And their season comes to an end to Tennessee in the Sweet 16. And just like that, both of our area teams, donezo, finito, on another season of college basketball.
Yeah, it looked like from that Creighton game, obviously I was watching on TV. You can talk in more detail since you were actually there. That Creighton just kind of looked out of gas by the end. Do you think would that be an accurate assessment?
I think we all kind of saw all season long, you know, you're an SEC guy, you went to Mizzou, you know that it is not hard, or it's not easy to be the best player in that conference. In a conference that has Kentucky and Tennessee, and like it's not easy. And Dalton Connect did that in his first year in the league.
Yeah.
And so we knew the type of player that he was going to be. And Baylor Shireman kind of took full responsibility on the role of being Creighton's best source of offense, because Trey Alexander mightily struggled. Tennessee kind of clogged passing lanes and didn't let them feed it to Ryan Kalkbrenner a lot. So he kind of took that on along with being the primary defender on Dalton Connect. And you could tell in the first 5 minutes that it was not energy wise. It was not like anything Baylor Shireman had done that year. And we're talking about a guy who played 55 minutes in a triple overtime game. And his face was visibly red during breaks. He had his hands on his hips, and it was just like, damn. This is the first time all season we've seen any of them have the slightest bit of fatigue. And it's because you had an All-American dealing with an All-American on both ends of the floor. That would be fair to say, for sure.
Yeah, and I suppose that brings us into portal season now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's a pretty... I don't want to seem like I'm looming large, but it's a pretty pivotal offseason for Creighton. Here we sit Thursday afternoon. Three people have entered the transfer portal. Brock Weiss, freshman. Jonathan Lawson, who, you know, kind of seemed like one of those guys who could be a portal candidate. And then I think maybe a bit of a shocker was Josiah Doetzler, a local kid who didn't play this season. And I don't know if something happened in their exit meetings, because I'm assuming those happened this week, or what. But he ups and decides to leave, and probably one of the more surprising moves, at least the most surprising move of the three who have entered the portal for Creighton. But I think the important thing, Wilson, is we're sitting here on Thursday, and there's a long way until they have to officially declare, and that's fine. But we have no clue what is going on with Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner. And those are the most important pieces in the puzzle this offseason, because that further affects how you recruit the portal, how you kind of view the expectations for next year. And so, yeah, we're really just kind of in a wait and see mode with Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner, because, you know, we're talking about the portal, and Creighton hasn't really pursued many big men, which there is no Hunter Dickinson in this class, right? Like, there's no like top notch premier must have where you can't live without him big man. And so that's fine. But they haven't really expressed interest in him. And so who knows what's going to happen? But that's kind of where Creighton stands. It's wait and see, and what Ryan Kalkbrenner and Trey Alexander are going to do. If they're going to test the NBA again, you kind of have to know that so that you can move forward with what you need to. Yeah, because it's so tough to go to a premier guard. Let's say a Zeke Mayo, who went to Kansas, ended up going back on the Kansas. It's so tough to say, hey, game on the line, you're going to have the ball in your hands. That's a player we want you to come here to be. When you can't fully guarantee him that role until you know what a guy like Trey Alexander is going to do. That's kind of the tough part of all of this. So that's where Creighton's at right now. Wait and see, pretty much.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, yeah. To say the least.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they're like, they've gone, and, you know, I think about like George Mason's Keyshawn Hall. Like, they're going and looking at 6'7", 6'8" kids as kind of their Baylor Shireman replacement, right? And whatever they want that to look like, because you're not going to find a guy like Baylor Shireman. But whatever their thought process and what they want that guy to look like, they've reached out to those rangy 6'8", 6'7"-ish guys. And so they're trying to fill that. That's evident. And they need to, because obviously Baylor is gone. He's out of eligibility. But when it comes to kind of your two guard and, you know, your five, that's they're in a bit of a waiting game. Tough, man. It's tough.
It is. I think since the last time we did this. Now, I don't remember if CJ Wilcher was in the portal yet the last time we recorded an episode.
You can't remember. But
yeah, it was right around then. If he wasn't then, it was shortly after that he entered. But in any case, Nebraska is up to six guys in the portal from the end of the season. Now, if that sounds like a lot, it's because it kind of is. But it's not a ton of players who were really meaningful contributors last year. It's Wilcher and Jamarcus Lawrence, and then four players that didn't see the floor a whole lot throughout the season. You know, it's Eli Rice, Ramel Lloyd Jr., Blaise Keita, and Matar Diop. And but it leaves Nebraska with a lot. Leaves Nebraska with seven open scholarships.
That's a lot, man.
It is a lot. And a lot of work to do over the offseason. I know we've talked about William Kyle, Bellevue West grad from South Dakota State. He was he took a visit, as did Frankie Fiddler from UNO, again, Bellevue West guy. They both have fits. You know, Nebraska needs size. That much is obvious with Josiah Alec leaving, and even like Jope was kind of the depth guy down low. So they're going to need some size and some rebounding. Kyle would have made sense. I think Fiddler would make sense from replacing Wilcher as a guy who's kind of a spot up shooter, maybe not an elite athlete or defender, but just someone who can space the floor, give you a little punch on offense. And then yeah, they go a lot of different directions. I know Andrew Morgan from North Dakota State is another one that he's a real candidate. It's hard to even project, just like what's Nebraska gonna look like next year. I don't know, there'll be seven new players. Like, you
That's
can make some predictions based on who they're recruiting right now, but it's gonna come from all over the place.
Dude,
But
seven. I mean, that's it's more than half your team. Like
yeah.
it's, and then you factor, Alek Tominaga gone. It's an entirely different team coming off of its first NCAA tournament appearance in a decade.
Now, with that said, like I said, not, the guys transferring, with the exception of Lawrence and Wilcher, weren't really major contributors. So, if every, assuming everyone else chooses to come back, there's a team bringing back Rink Mast and Bryce Williams and Jawan Gary, so that's important,
For sure. No. For sure. And that's obviously all three of those guys played crucial parts this year. And so to be able to build around that core, good for Fred Hoiberg, who was just named the National Coach of the Year.
Didn't see that
So,
coming.
yeah, good for Fred Hoiberg. But yeah, man, I mean, they're gonna need a ball dominant guard, right? Or like, do you? They're gonna need one. So
Now
is that where a guy like, I don't know, I don't know. Yeah, no clue.
a potential candidate there, hiding in plain sight is Aaron Ulis. He didn't play this season. He wasn't eligible because of a gambling suspension dating
His
back to a
brother was pretty good, if I remember
yeah,
right.
Tyler Ulis at Kentucky. Yeah, and did yeah was he on the like the is he on the like undefeated Kentucky team? Is that
No,
that?
he was the year after that. He would have been with like Book. He would have been with Book and like a Jamal Murray.
But Book was on the undefeated team. Devin Booker, he
I
was
think
with like
so.
Karl Anthony Towns and Willie Cauley-Stein and the Harrison
He
twins all together.
was like the sixth or seventh man for that team. Crazy.
But anyway,
Back in
I
our day.
definitely wouldn't be surprised if his brother Aaron Ulis is Nebraska's starting point guard going into next year, just because that's what they recruited him to be a year ago, and they obviously didn't get that for reasons that go well beyond basketball. But it's like, like getting a guy out of the portal. Here's a veteran ball handler who they can just immediately slot in. So I think I could see him getting a lot of like the minutes Jamarcus Lawrence played this season, especially early, when he was the starting point guard. So I think that's I think Ulis is kind of an overlooked factor in all of this, that a guy who will come in and presumably help right away. He's a veteran point guard, and you can never have too many of those in college basketball.
Yeah, no, for sure. That'll be the, yeah, I don't know. What would your, portal guys included, not saying that you're saying they're going to grab one or not, but just the obvious ones they've been in communication with, William, Kyle, Frankie. What is your ideal starting five for this team rolling into next fall?
Starting five. We'll say the Ulis at the point at point. Gary at the three. Or Williams at the two, Gary at the three, Mast at the five. That's And then I'll say William Kyle at the four. I think he or Andrew Morgan, again, they're going after size. I think, you know, Kyle's a guy who doesn't shoot very well or at all. I don't think he took a 3-point last year, but Mast can stretch the floor enough that I think you can live with that. You know, as a guy who I think would fill a lot of gaps in Nebraska, particularly where the Huskers struggled, you know, getting rebounds, protecting the rim. He can do a lot of that. And I think that would really, he would provide a real boost to Nebraska. Beyond him, another guy, you know, Nebraska's been in contact with is Andrew Morgan. And he would, again, I think he's a guy you could put in the, play at the power forward. Again, he's a guy who's got size, he can get rebounds, and I think he can step out and shoot a little bit. So I think a lot of, you know, the, a lot of what Josiah Alec brought last year, just from a, you know, rebounding perspective. And Morgan is a Minnesotan, which would be kind of cool because they they didn't have anyone from Minnesota last year. So I would always be in favor of having another one to cover.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That'd be a good shout out to the roots.
Yeah, Waseca, Minnesota.
Okay. Oh my man. Yeah, I don't if somebody asked me that same, sorry to put you on the spot with that one, because if somebody asked me the same question about Creighton, I couldn't tell you. Because it does hinge so much on Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner. I think I got scolded for it about 6 weeks ago when I said that there was a chance Trey Alexander might not get the feedback that he wants again. I'd seen everywhere in mock drafts that he was either like a fringe lottery pick or end of the second round. Like it was such a dynamic range in how Trey Alexander was viewed. A little bit of the same with Ryan Kalkbrenner. Not to that extent, but he was a mid to late second round guy. And I think that'll probably be true when they go, you know, when the draft happens, if they stay in it, you know, Ryan would probably be a mid to second, late second round guy. But the interesting development in all of this, and we'll know more in a month when the combine happens and whatnot, Trey Alexander has been relatively non-existent in all of the recent mock drafts. And I'm talking about like The Ringer, Bleacher Report, ESPN, The Athletic. Like Trey Alexander is relatively non-existent in all of them. Which I'm not saying one thing or the other. I think it's nuts. But that's just kind of the fact of the matter, is that he hasn't been, like, that range hasn't been dynamic as it was six weeks ago. For whatever reason, I have no clue. So, long meandering way to say, if I had to pick a starting five, I would probably include Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner. Personally. And I'd say that you'd roll into next year with Ashworth, Trey, give me like a Keyshawn Hall from George Mason. They reached out to a Duthiero from Kentucky. That would be, I think it'd be a little bit of what Arthur Kaluma gave offensively. But defensively, you could live with 6'8", 225 in the middle of your defense. You can live with that. So I think that'd give them a little bit of a dynamic that they maybe didn't have. Like, they didn't have a large smothering, aside from Ryan Kalkbrenner, obviously. They didn't have like a large smothering, just athletic individual. Defensively this year, that was their specialty. They were just gonna have, they were gonna breathe down your neck. They were always gonna have a hand in your shorts, a hand in your pocket. Like, they were that defender, and I think that a guy like a Duthiero would give them that. Do they get a guy like that? I have no clue. So insert whoever you want at the three, and then Mason Miller or Jason Green at the four. That'd be an interesting dynamic that they'll probably try and work out in camp, because Jason Green competed for that job last year before he broke his wrist. So maybe they give him another chance to earn the starting spot. And then you have Ryan Kalkbrenner at the five. You know, that would be ideal, I think, if you can return, you know, three starters from this year, maybe four, depending on what happens with Mason and Jason. But who do they get at the three? I think that that kind of decides. Yeah, no clue. Or Trey and Ryan don't come back, and they end up with Ashworth, Dante Maddox Jr. from Toledo, and who, you know, insert portal big man. No clue. No clue.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, it's just like you just don't replace Baylor Shireman. You know,
no,
like there's not
no.
just like. That's not just someone you can find in the portal.
No, no. And that's why I think it's important to decide identity-wise what they want it to look like. Because you can go get a guy like Keyshawn Hall. I keep coming back to him because they've reached out to him. It's very out there. You can go get a guy like Keyshawn Hall, who's a decent defender, who's going to fit in this offense rather seamlessly, because he shoots like high 30%. He's 6'8 as well, shoots like high 30% from three. Like, he'd fit in like a glove. Or do you try and find a hard-nosed defender who maybe doesn't pick things up on offense, but he will be your lockdown defender night in and night out? Do you get a guy like Aduthi Arrow? No clue. Because they're, yeah, on top of the numbers wise, like just the production, you're not going to get a player that played both, like that played both ends the way that Baylor Shireman did. They're hard to come by, man. There's a reason that people, you know, people have said that he just put together one of the best Creighton seasons in program history.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that people say things like that. Those are the guys you can't replace, obviously. So yeah, what do they want the identity to look like? And again, I really just think that all comes back on what do Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner do. If they leave, if Trey leaves especially, you're probably going to look for that three guy to be a bit of a scorer.
Yeah.
If not, and Trey comes back and you have Ashworth at the one and Trey at the two, or if Trey leaves and you end up with Ashworth and Dante Maddox Jr., you could probably live with that guy at the three not being as much of a scorer. So, yeah, we'll see. We're just kind of waiting on the dominoes to fall when it comes to hoops in Omaha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Kind of the same thing. Same thing here in Lincoln. Just and really probably all over the country. You know, you're just
right.
waiting for things to happen and then reacting.
Yeah, no, for sure. And especially, you know, when you have two players who are cornerstone players who have had so much success at Creighton that Trey and Ryan have, and when you have seven, count them, seven open scholarships down in Lincoln. Yeah, I mean, these are just kind of the things you're going to run into, for sure. Good problems to have, in a way.
I suppose so.
Fred can continue to make the team what he wants it. The, you know, from Creighton's perspective, the part that sucks about having players like this is the fact that you had players like this.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for a reason. You don't want them to leave for a reason. So yeah, pretty pivotal off season on a I-80. Put that
Absolutely.
On a t-shirt. Pivotal off season on I-80.
It's kind of long for a t-shirt.
Yeah, you can put it on the back. Frock it. You could put it on a frock it.
Yeah, or yeah, like a logo of some sort.
Yeah,
and then on
yeah,
the back.
Yeah. We could cobble something up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have it.
I'll have a, send I'll... us send us an email, t-shirt design fans. This idea is on the house. You can use this one.
if we can get a little bit of NIL kickback, that would be nice. That's all we ask. Oh man. Well, so you got anything else, my man?
I don't think so. You know,
me
it's
neither.
Just it's a weird time of year.
It is. We're just gonna wait and see.
Yeah.
And I think everyone else is just wait and see what happens until next week's episode of Half Court Press.
I'm sure they will.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of Half Court Press. Make sure to go buy a subscription at omaha.com, and we will see you all next week. Peace.